This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here. We cover a lot of different things around the Umpqua Valley. And today, a story of strength and recovery. Josh Vernon here from ADAPT. Josh, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, how you've been working for ADAPT for the past few months, right?
Yes.
So, what do you do now?
I am a residential assistant at Crossroads. If you don't know what Crossroads is, it's an inpatient substance use disorder rehabilitation facility.
And so, let's go back to the beginning. Now, where did you grow up?
I grew up in a town in California called Visalia. It's a agricultural town. There's lots of dairies. It's near Yosemite National Park, kind of near the redwoods, sequoias.
And how long were you there? How old were you when you moved here?
I was 25 when I moved here. So I went to high school in Visalia. I graduated, and when I was 19, my father got in a bad motorcycle accident and became paralyzed, and he lived up here while I was down there with my mom, so I had to come up and take care of him while he was getting situated with caretakers and assisted living and stuff.
And so after doing that, well, back up, because you, in fact, ADAPT has put out an article about what you've gone through. How old were you when you really first started struggling with substance use disorder?
That was around 14, 15.
So pretty early.
Yes, yeah.
And what kind of led to that?
It started off in high school parties, drinking, smoking marijuana, just hanging out with the wrong crowd, eventually leading to harder substances. Obviously, opiate. I experimented with opioid painkillers, and which eventually led to my severe heroin addiction.
So by the time you were severely addicted to heroin, how old were you then?
I was 19.
So out of high school by then?
Yes.
How did you navigate a typical day during that time?
At first, it started off, I was able to hold down jobs at first during the beginning. And as it progressed, more of my time was spent acquiring means and ways to obtain this drug. So
now when you came up here, did a change of scenery help at all, or did it just exacerbate it?
So I think I was in a bad state emotionally, what with my father going getting into his accident, and so I actually do think it made it worse coming here. By the time I was 25, not only I was introduced to meth as well as me using heroin, so it progressed pretty bad from there.
And were you a daily user?
Yes.
So did you ever get through a day without using?
Occasionally. Yeah, those days were rough. Withdrawal is terrible. It's really hard to describe if you haven't experienced it.
Now, when you went through those days, was it that you were trying to get out of your addiction, or was it just you were out of money that day, or
out of money, out of resources, burnt bridges?
Does that, this kind of drug use, does it lead to a lot of burnt bridges?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think what it eventually took was my family not allowing me to come around anymore, being very untrustworthy. I had nowhere else to live anymore. Ended up on the street.
Now that takes one set of big problems and adds a second one to it. So on the street, where did you spend your nights?
Mainly at camps. When I first got kicked out of my house, I had a pretty nice vehicle. I had a truck, And so the first couple years of me actually being homeless, I actually had a truck to sleep in. That eventually got stolen, and so I eventually had to set up camps and live in tents.
And then without the truck, that really complicated getting around.
Walking pretty much, yep.
Now, was that right in Roseburg, or were you out in one of the rural areas?
It was in Roseburg, yeah.
So the homelessness, how long did that last?
It lasted for 4 years.
Now, that's a long time. And each season has its own challenges.
Oh, yeah.
Is the winter the worst time?
By far, yes.
What is it like when you're... Now, you were in a tent, I presume?
Yes.
But when it's raining, I mean, I am told, because I don't camp, that waterproof tents are generally only so waterproof.
Yeah, especially... You know, especially if it starts snowing or if it's sleet builds up on the tent, and when it starts to melt, yeah, everything just becomes saturated. It's pretty miserable.
And then not only is the tent wet, your stuff is all wet, and trying to find a way to get it dried off in that kind of weather is darn near impossible.
Yeah, everything gets moldy. Everything starts to stink. Yeah, it's bad.
So during that period of time, did you have still any close contacts, friends, family?
I did. I would try. I think it was pretty heartbreaking for them to see where I was at that point in my life. So I think they limited contact as much as possible.
And what did that, how did that make you feel?
It just snowballed into more and more hopelessness, pretty much.
So were there, days that you could envision any kind of brighter future?
No. I can remember one point where I had woken up under the overpass at Gaddis Park with the sounds of the cars going over, and I broke out in the tears, pretty much, thinking that this was going to be my life, and I had no idea how I was going to dig my way out.
So where'd you get food and that kind of thing?
There's a few resources. So I did qualify for EBT, but that's only so much each month. There's a couple of programs. St. Joseph's has a feed on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I believe. It's been a while since I went there, but I made do.
And I would imagine, I mean, you know, you mentioned being able to go to St. Joe's. Wouldn't it even be hard to know what day of the week it actually was sometimes?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, yeah. It was hard to keep track of time.
Because I'm sure there were times there where you probably didn't have a phone or didn't have it on.
No. Yeah, keeping any type of material possessions is very difficult.
So you go through all of that. How did you reach kind of a breaking point? What was that?
So that would be one particular night in February. I had just came back to my camp. All my camping gear was gone, my tent, sleeping bag. I had nowhere to go, no friends, no family left to contact. And on top of that, it started snowing. Basically, I had to just walk around all night, ask for help. I couldn't find anyone to help me. Finally, I knew ADAPT, the Madrone building, opened, I think, at 7 a.m. So I walked around all night just to stay warm until they opened. And when they opened up, I went in there and warmed up, which eventually I was talking to the ladies at the front desk and about my position, the position I was in, and they suggested I contact Crossroads, which is where I work, to get into a detox program, and that's basically where it all began.
So that night when you came back, everything was gone?
Yeah. I think it got stolen, but yeah.
Wow. We're going to take a break at Inside Douglas County.
We'll tell the other side of the story when we come back. Josh Earn with us from Adapt the Interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming up at 1. We've got State Representative Virgil Osborne in studio, back from Salem tomorrow for Inside Douglas County. Today, it's a story of strength and recovery. And wow, Josh Vernon putting it all out there about some tough years. So really, if all this started about 14, how old were you when you walked up to the doors at ADAPT seeking help?
I was 33.
That's a long time.
It is a struggle,
man. Now, so you go up, they suggest after losing all your stuff and bad weather and cold and all that, where did you go from there?
So I first started off going into detox at Crossroads, and from there, I transitioned to the residential side, which is a 30-day inpatient residential program, and completed that. And from there, I moved to Coos Bay, where ADAPT has another program called Fresh Start, where I spent the next 11 months programming there, learning new skills, how to live. So after I completed that, I moved back to Roseburg and stayed at one of the newer facilities. It's called Progress Point. And after 3 months of staying there, going out every day looking for work, I get a call from Paul, the director at Crossroads. I had put in an application there, and he called me back and offered me a job. And so it's pretty cool how, like, my whole recovery journey is through ADAPT. So I really am a big supporter, and I think it's awesome for me to be able to work there.
When you got the call about the job, was that a message that he left, or did you actually answer the phone?
No, I actually answered the phone. Yeah.
So what was your reaction to that offer?
I think I had to mute it and, like, jump up and down and do a little dance before I could talk. No, I was stoked. I knew it was going to be a good fit.
And it sounds like what you went through in Coos Bay and the additional help here really put you on a very different path.
Yes.
Now, in your story that's written out, it mentions that you... you really felt like you had an identity crisis and needed to actually meet clean and sober people. Talk about that.
Yeah. So when you spent so many years with a substance use disorder, after taking the substance away, all your time and energy revolves around getting and using. So when you take that away, it really leaves a void, and you kind of have to reinvent yourself. You have to change everything. You got to change the people you hang out with. And so, yeah, it is kind of like an identity crisis. I had to make new friends and love my old friends from afar. You know, obviously I can't be hanging around with my old friends that still drink and use and stuff. So,
was it helpful to be out of town in Coos Bay for a while?
It was. And I know it can't be the case for everybody. But fortunately for me, that was the case.
So now talk a little bit more about what you're doing now in terms of now being on the other side to help others.
Well, I like to give back. I try to donate clothing as much as possible. Obviously, the place that I work, I'm able to give back, give good advice, and be a good example for those struggling.
What kinds of things do you do in a typical day with your job at ADAPT?
So I transport clients to and from medical appointments, to AA and NA meetings, if they have active DHS cases. I document activity to help support their treatment plans, connect them to resources, hand out hygiene and clothing.
And I understand you're also working on even moving forward, and you're now enrolled at UCC.
I am. Right now I'm trying to get my Associate of Arts degree. That way I can transfer to a four-year university.
And do you know what you want to do, or are you just kind of exploring that direction?
Yeah, I am kind of exploring. I think start off doing medical technology, like working with MRI machines and ultrasounds and stuff like that. But way later on down the line, my dream is kind of get into diagnostic medicines for like rare and deadly diseases.
Wow. Yeah. That is a whole different path. And probably if somebody would have said to you, watching you as a teenager, that might have not been something they would have thought you would have done.
Yeah, probably not.
So I understand that today is kind of a milestone.
It is. It is. Today is my two-year anniversary for my last drink or drug.
And we didn't realize that. I knew that was coming up from the article. We didn't actually plan it that way.
Kind of happened.
But it's kind of cool that you're able to do this on that day. When you wake up now, how much different do you feel about your life?
It's so rewarding. It's night and day. Going through that, it really allows me to be grateful for everything I have, waking up every day, having a warm bed to sleep in, a shower, clean clothes. It makes it real easy to wake up grateful every day.
And I would think, though, I mean, you mentioned having to, because of what you're doing, you cross paths periodically, at least, like you said, maybe from a distance with some of your old friends. That's got to that'd be hard.
Yeah, it does stir up some emotions, but I think what helps is them seeing me now from being as hopeless as I was to them seeing me now as I'm doing something with my life. Hopefully that can be a beacon of hope for them. So,
wow. So I know that in a community this big, people kind of go through different situations, and sometimes it's not the people you expect to have the problems that do, and vice versa. So you can't typecast one, whether it's income level or family background or all of that. People fall from a lot of different places. For somebody that might hear this, what would you say to encourage them if they need to get out of what they're doing?
Yeah, addiction does not discriminate. And the biggest thing I could say is, which was hard for me, is to ask for help. Go around and explore local resources, ADAPT, Cal Creek, Behavioral Health, HIV Alliance, AA, NA meetings. Just ask for help, because chances are you won't be able to do it alone. You're going to need support.
All right. Josh Vernon, wow, 2 years of sobriety today. Congratulations. Thanks for coming
Thank
in.
You. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.